episode 260 of the Customer Support Leaders Podcast. I'm Charlotte Ward. Today, welcome Sarah Caminiti to talk about All Hands Support. I'd like to welcome to the podcast today, and welcome back indeed, Sarah Caminiti. Nice to have you back.
Yay, you I'm so excited to be here.
I'm excited to have you back. We're going to dive straight in, I think, because we're going to talk about all hands support today. And so I think most people kind of know what we mean by that in the broadest sense. But I just asked you pre-recording, do you mean kind of people coming in and just doing the occasional support day, say in the automatic support day or support weeks, I think they have, right, where they come in on their anniversary? Or do you mean all hands all the time?
All hands all the time. Yes, that is how we do things at Hand Simple. We've got everybody from the CEO, CTO, marketing, developers, anybody in between that are in the queue every single day, and it is part of their job. It's really successful. So I'm excited to talk about it.
That's awesome. So tell me where it began. I mean, it sounds like something that is organic, super early days. Was it organic for you?
Yes. Well, when I joined Hand Simple, they'd been around for, I would say probably five, six-ish years. And it was basically just developers that were doing everything. And we're a bootstrap company still, so we all know how to wear all the hats. But the developers with zero customer support training, except for a couple superstars that have dabbled in it in the past, were just trying to figure it out for years. And it was stressful, and they had no structure or policy. And it worked for them for a while, but then they got to a point where they realized, okay, we need somebody to come in here and kind of tell us what we need to do. Yeah. And I was lucky enough to be that person. And I joined and kind of just flipped it all on its head while trying to keep things, you know, as close to how it was in the essence of it, because we're a very technical product. So we have to have developers in the queue, because a huge majority of our tickets are very technical. So unless we are going to be hiring a humongous amount of support engineers to answer these tickets, why not have the customer just talk to the person that built it? And it's a much more efficient system. So that's where we are. I've been at Hand Simple for 5 years, and we are a well-oiled machine. We've grown significantly. I was employee number 9 or 10, somewhere in there. Wow. And now we're, I think, close-ish to 40, give or take. So we've had a lot of folks come in, and it works.
I think that you said something really interesting, which is, why not have the folks who are building like this really technically complex product helping the customers who are going to be technical in your case, right? And are going to have difficult questions. It's a shortcut, isn't it? I inherited at my current place an organization that's gone the other way, that we have hired support engineers. It is also a deeply technical product and a very complex one, but we have a dedicated support team separate from our other technical teams. We've got other technical teams in pre-sales and implementation and obviously engineering. So there, in terms of like technical expertise, if not knowledge about particular parts of the product, in terms of general technical experts, we've got a lot of them in the organization, and probably most of those people one way or another could provide support. But we've gone the other way, because for us it's been, I think, a choice of having the engineers concentrate more on engineering the product. And I think that is always the challenge, isn't it? How you balance the engineering work, where you're in control of your own time, you're working to different schedules, it's a different mindset to support work, which can be quite reactive. It can be deep diving, and you just don't know where you're going, particularly with a technical product, right? How long are you going to disappear into that customer problem for?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's that's very true. And it's a conversation that we've had and we've thought about, especially as we've grown. We're very fortunate in that our volume is not overwhelming. So we've created a system. We are a self-service product that our customers know where to go when they need help. We have a very robust knowledge base for them to access. Then when they run into issues, they know that they're going to get somebody and they know that it's going to be fast and it's going to be efficient. And then they'll just continue on their day.
And they'll get the experts, right?
Exactly.
And I think that, I mean, it seems to me that having a really strong knowledge base and a really workable self-service provision is going to be key to this, because you don't want engineers interrupted by the proverbial password reset, do you?
No. And that is why our system is as functional as it is. Mm. When I joined, it was my mission to change the feelings about support from the engineers. I wanted them to be confident when they were talking to customers. I wanted them to be not stressed about all of these other things that were happening. And I wanted them to only be answering the things that were very, very relevant to them. And so I created a matrix. And the matrix is based on the tags that we use in our ticketing system. But then I have every single person in the company listed with their time zone, so we understand when they're going to be around. And then they mark their expert level, general level, or no level. And that's what we use to triage, because what we were running into and what I was hearing, because when I joined, I also made it a point to be a very active listener. I sent out anonymous surveys. I did one-on-ones. I made it be as respectful as I possibly could to celebrate what they had been accomplishing for years and navigate how we can take that base and build off of it. Because I don't want them to feel anything other than pride for what they've been doing. And how you approach that has to be, you know, a very, very navigated road, because you want them to come out of this not hating support even more. That's why we kind of develop the system so the best person answers the ticket. And even if it's somebody, and I tell this to them over and over again, it is one of my just always things that I say, one of my very, very long lists of always things that I say, I swear. I know most of you can answer every single technical question that comes in. But if it's something that takes you 20 minutes to go and sift through documentation, test it out, maybe put a message in Slack just to verify that you got it right, or you're nervous and you send it anyway, even if you don't know, because you just need to get something out there, that's not a win. And that's not a good use of your time. I would much rather have the person that's going to look at this ticket say, oh, yes, I know exactly what that is, because this is the rollout that I just did yesterday. Let me put that answer in. You spend 5 minutes in there, bada bing, bada boom. And then it's not as overwhelming of an experience. It's you're just sharing the knowledge that you know and getting the reward of seeing a happy customer at the end to make that connection.
And it's customer focused, isn't it? It allows those customers to get, I mean, as you said, like the win terminology you use, it allows those customers to be successful much quicker with the right information that you can be confident in, and everyone can move on with their day.
Exactly. And there's too much opportunity for misunderstanding when you're triaging if you are not a super technical person. There's nuances, different terminology. There's things that could look like one thing and be another. And one of the things that we track is, when did we assign a ticket to an engineer because we thought it was one thing and it ended up being about something else entirely? So how can we get those terms into our ideology of how all of this works, and shift that to make us more efficient when we're triaging, because we don't want to waste anybody's time. And that's what we're constantly evolving and constantly learning from, because the tiered system is, it can get really convoluted. And have to just go through and re-explain. And one person interprets something one way, and then they send it to somebody else and they interpret something the other way. And something that could have been handled very, very quickly if they just would have been sent to that department from the very beginning takes 2 weeks. And when you're dealing with someone's domain, which is their livelihood.
The business, right?
You didn't have that time.
Understood. I completely agree about the tiered system. I mean, even though I do have a separate support team from our engineering and our other teams, I really am quite passionate about single tier support, single level support. There is nothing more frustrating as a customer, whether you're phoning up your cell phone provider, an energy company, returning some shoes, or talking to a deeply technical organization about your, you know, something that's key to your business. Nothing more frustrating in my mind than to speak to someone and then say, well, I'm going to pass you on to someone else. It's so frustrating, isn't it?
Yeah.
Reset. Well, it is. Yeah. It's a reset. Absolutely. Yeah. How do your particularly your engineers, I know that you've got other parts of the business doing by its very nature, all hands support means all hands. So I know you have other business functions doing support as well. But specifically talking about your engineers, how do they balance the time and like those two different types of working, you know, getting deep into the code or in the middle of a sprint, or I've got to pull out of that, like a back out of that psychologically and respond to a customer?
Great question. And this is something that we've had so many conversations about internally, because I need to be respectful of this. One of the things that has worked is I set expectations that are attainable. And while they are in the queue every day, they are required to be in the queue every day. At the end of the month, on average, each engineer is probably tackling 20 to 25 tickets total. And some of them will take a long time. Some of them have a lot of back and forth. Some of them don't. And it just, you know, is the nature of the beast. But we have a schedule that I propose when I do onboarding. I have a 6-week ramp up. And one of the biggest things that we focus on during this onboarding is I'm not going to teach you how to write technically, because that is you. But I am going to teach you how to communicate effectively. And we focus a lot on structure. And I'm helping engineers internationally where English may be their fourth language. A ton of different hurdles that we have to think about when we're going into this as well. So I want it to be as easy and accessible as possible to fit this into this world. So we spend a lot of time on the structure. We have a lot of editing sessions. We have a lot of conversations. And at the end of it, they always say, you know, this was probably the most intense onboarding program I have had for any sort of thing that I've done. Because just like we were talking about before the recording, it is very easy for other departments to not grasp mentally what goes into answering every single support ticket and the amount of an intention that goes into everything. And I need to get that point across. And the best way to do it is to give them scenarios that we work on and we navigate together. And at the end of it, I propose a schedule where, okay, you get into your computer in the morning, before you get into Slack, before you get into your email, go into our ticketing system, look and see, are there any tickets assigned to me? Okay, tackle those first. Are there any tickets that still need to be triaged that, you know, maybe I can just take a quick glance at? I'm not going to triage them, but I'm just going to take a quick glance at just to make sure it's not something that's relevant that I can grab. Okay, you answer that ticket, you're done. Or you don't have any tickets, you're done. Then you go on with your day around your lunch break. You finish doing your code stuff and you jump back into the queue and you look and see, only has someone replied. Okay. You leave. Come back from lunch, do the same thing. Then at the end of your day, you go through and you answer any of those ones that someone has assigned to you. You answer any of those replies. It's a requirement that you do not have anything assigned to you still when you close out your day. We have a 24-hour policy for ticket turnaround. It has to be touched. If there's a reason why you cannot answer it at that time, there needs to be a note in the ticket. If there's a corresponding Slack conversation about it, that needs to be a note in the ticket. And make sure that everyone is informed, because in an effort to be efficient, I'm going to be going in there and seeing, oh, this person left and they didn't answer their ticket. And then I'm going to send them a message and I'm going to be, why didn't you do this? And they're going to be like, I've been working on it. I've got this Slack conversation. I've got this other thing going. Okay, you got to let me know. You got to let me know. And maybe I can help. So that's constant. And I mentor constantly. We have one-on-ones constantly. I have reports. I'm part of the performance review consideration. I am their manager for everything related to the customer experience. And that even runs into documentation that's external, that runs into emails that they're going to be sending out to customers that are based around projects that they're pushing. And I do the same thing to the CEO and the CTO and the marketing team too. I mean, that's my job. I need to do QA. I need to have those tough conversations, but make them be a positive thing where I try to figure out what was going on in your head when you went in this direction and find the gaps. The first thing I say on these calls is, what was it that made you do this? And I don't do that in any sort of negative way. It is truly, I'm curious. I want to know, because that's how we're going to make things better. And then have a conversation of, oh, I looked at this and I thought this was this. I saw this documentation and it said to do this. Or I was so stressed because it was a really busy day for me and I forgot to look at this one thing. And then that turned into a conversation of, tell me if you're stressed. Put a combo or into the customer's success Slack channel and say, I got too much right now. Can I have a couple of days? And that's fine. I would much rather we have that than you start to hate support because that's the very, very last thing that I ever want to do.
Because the customers will feel it too, right? I think you know, that documentation of every action on a ticket is really important, because particularly when you're all remote, it's just so important that you don't have to chase. You don't have to ask what was going on here. Why hasn't this been done? Or what, you know, what's the status? Like, it should just be anyone arriving to the ticket, whether they're the CEO or you or an engineer or anyone, should know what's going on in that ticket. The other thing that you said is really interesting is that, you know, you talk to people about kind of, why did you make that decision, or what happened there, in a really open way? My approach is the word I'm looking for. My approach is to understand the context as much as possible, much like you're saying, really, because I have this kind of, I say a lot of things a lot, like you. one of the things I always say is, you know, you're employed here because we trust you. And by and large, 90% of the people, 95% of the people are trying to do the right thing all the time, you know? So if something went off the rails, it went off the rails for a reason, and that reason probably wasn't a person. So I always say, like, we're aiming to fix the systems, not the people. And so if that is a knowledge gap, it's better documentation, it's a process that needs a rework, if it's a tool or whatever it is, like, most of the time you're employed here because we trust you to do good work with good intentions, and therefore the things that we need to fix are the systems and not the people.
Yes, exactly. And also embrace the fact that we're always learning, and it's okay for us to do scenarios a year later and just kind of reassess how things are going. It's okay for you to send me a question. I edit questions or replies all the time. I love it. I mean, I'm an editor at heart, but some of it's a little selfish, but, But that's what I want to do, because I want them to be able to send those replies confidently. But yeah. also, I create a very firm boundary with everybody that's on my team that they deserve respect. So if a customer situation is maybe going a little bit too long and they're having a hard time getting it through, especially if it's a developer doing it who doesn't have the time spent as a support professional to understand those nuances, send it to me earlier than later. I can hop in at any time, usually say the exact same thing that you have been saying. And then if we need to loop you back in, we will. But I don't want you to ever be feeling gross going into the situation with a ticket because someone is not being respectful to you. And I need to honor that and be there because I'm their advocate. The end of the day.
Absolutely. And you can't advocate unless you're informed and informed early enough that you can take action that has a meaningful effect on the outcome. And another thing I'm always saying is exactly the same as you tell me earlier, like as soon as you get that early, like niggle in your gut that something is going wrong here, tell me, because that's when it's mostly rescuable by a slightly more, you know, softly worded email or, you know, let's jump on a Zoom rather than 2 weeks from now when we've got a major incident and a pissed off customer and two pissed off engineers. And I'll be pissed off as well. I can guarantee that.
Yes. Yeah. Don't, because those situations usually they don't have really anything to do with the person that's answering the emails. I mean, it needs finesse or it needs a different pair of eyes. And I have those times too. And I lean to the two incredible women that are the dedicated support agents. And I think of them more as the team leads because they are running the show in the queue on my behalf. And they are doing it probably better than I ever could. but when I need their help, when I'm struggling with someone, when I'm trying to figure out why is this not getting across, I lean into them because just like you said, I trust you. I hired you to do your job well because you do your job well. And that means that even though I'm in this role, I still want to talk it out sometimes with folks.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And that's one of the benefits of all hands support, I suppose, is it de-silos all of those responses, all of those feelings. It makes it much more of a collaboration across the board, whether it's the heat of the situation or the technical approach to a situation, I guess.
Exactly. Yeah, it works for us. We have very happy customers. And it's interesting seeing folks coming from those big name companies, too, and explaining their situations of I've been waiting for weeks to get a reply, or I've had to explain this over and over and over again. And we're a boutique product and we understand that. And our customers come to us and they expect to have that extra little something, something if something pops up. And we're able to provide that to them in a way that works for us and for the customer as well to benefit.
That's awesome. What a lovely sentiment to finish on. Thank you so much for joining me today, Sarah.
Please
come back another time. I know that we've got a stack of things to talk about, so let's make sure we cover them. we have a list, don't we? We have a list. That's
we definitely have a list. It's ever growing.
All right. Thank you so much. I will talk to you soon.
Thank you.
That's it for today. Go to customersupportleaders.com/260 for the show notes, and I'll see you next time.